on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Kia ora and g'day rugby league fans. Welcome to the RHP Show. We've got the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, in the house.
Yo, what's up?
And we also have the Bradford Bulls try-scoring sensation, young James Bentley.
All right, guys.
A round of applause. Welcome to the show, James. We're giving away a family ticket to the Bulls home game this Friday night against local derby rivals Halifax. Rugby League, going to be a massive, massive game up at the Providence Stadium. So if you want to find out how you can get a hold of those tickets, just contact us at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show. We'll leave it to about lunchtime tomorrow because obviously it's a Friday afternoon kickoff and it's Bank Holiday Friday. So just leave your details and we'll pick someone at random. So loads to cover this evening, including this full Easter weekend pack-up. So stick with us. Here we go, the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Good evening, boys.
Good evening, Roberto.
You know what it is this weekend?
Go on, then.
Go on. It's Easter.
Yeah, fantastic.
Look what I've got for you here. Easter.
The most dreaded weekend of a rugby player's career.
But I'm giving you chocolate to start it off with.
I don't need any more of them. I've had enough, I think.
This is Ewan's gifting this to us.
Thank you,
cream
Ewan.
Eggs. I got a cream egg. You've got a cream egg. I don't eat these, but my wife does. James, you've got a cream egg as well. Just to let you know, Leon, once again, you and I being, you know, official members of Pulse One, the Towers, the team, not only did Ewan not invite us to the Christmas do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Pulse One Christmas do, but everybody has their own name Christmas Easter egg on their tables as well in the office. But except for you, we got a cream egg.
Well, at least we know what we're mean to, huh?
You know what I mean? The highest rating show.
At least we know where we stand.
The saviour of Pulse One Radio.
At least we know where we stand now, eh?
Highest rating show. Hey.
I could have eaten all of those.
He had four. And he was really pleased that Robbo wasn't coming on the show tonight. So as we can imagine, Robbo's with the Huddersfield Giants, who are taking on Catalans this evening. Your boys, your Catalan boys, Leon, they've not been doing too well lately, haven't they?
No, but it's not surprising, really. I think, as we've said on numerous occasions, the instability of players coming and going from the squad every year, it's hard to get a nucleus of a team that can bond if you keep changing your star players every year. It'll never work.
It's a bit of a weird one because you watch them and sometimes they can just play awesome rugby league, but then they just keep losing to teams that they shouldn't lose to.
Yeah, I think Trent Robinson had the formula. Trent Robinson had the right formula as a coach, and his recruitment policy was fantastic. The players that he signed were all players that had something to prove, as I've stated before. And they were great. I mean, Trent Robinson was one of my best coaches. I've had a great bloke, spoke French, and he really took control of the changing room. He took control of everything. Bernard had to stay out of the way. But in France, Bernard, you know, the directors and the chief execs like to have a bit of involvement sometimes, and sometimes that doesn't work. So, you know, I think probably...
It's a strange one, eh? Yeah. Over the course of
my career. It works a lot differently over in France than it does over in England.
The directors, they're a little more hands-on, eh?
Yes. I mean, if you're like, for instance, I think the second season we're there, probably we started off, we lost the first five games. Weren't playing too particularly well, weren't doing too particularly bad, but not great. After five games, I got called into office to Bernard and I had to explain what was going on and why my performances weren't that great. I had to sit and explain myself to him. And then two players got sacked. Jamal Fakir and Webby got sent home. That's after five, because we lost first five.
So what you're saying is you had a meeting with Bernard.
Yes.
He asked you what's going on with the team, and following that meeting, two of your teammates got sacked.
Yes, yes.
Asked, so basically,
Leon, what's going on,
James? What are you saying? Is he throwing a Webby?
No. I had to answer to him, Leon. What is going on with your performances? Why are the team playing so bad?
And you blame Webby and Jamal.
I didn't blame anyone.
Webby's a pretend New Zealander who's actually an Aussie, and so you just had that against him. And Jamal, well, you just couldn't understand a word he was saying.
Well, I think Jaja blew up, and well, actually, Webby's one of my best mates. I love Webby; he's a great guy.
But it didn't stop you from selling him down the river.
No, I totally sold him out.
That just seems weird to me. I mean, you've got all this to look forward to when you, hopefully you'll stay, you'll be a one club man, but you might end up like Leon, just actually selling yourself out to the first person that comes along, and not the most money, just the first one that comes along. But over your career, like, I know from my point of view, it was strange to see directors ever come into our environment, because that's the way I saw it. It was a really unique little environment that was ours, and we had to keep it that way. When we were successful, we had to keep it that way because we wanted to, you know, we lived and died for one another, literally on the field. We had that sort of unbreakable bond. And I think outside sources that have such influence can be really distracting.
Yeah, I think it's too much. I've had it both ways. I've had it at Bradford. We never ever saw Chris Kayser. Nobby was in control. You were made to, as a youngster, I was made to feel that basically Nobby controlled the full club. He were in charge. He was the man. But then I went into Saints in 2006. Eamon McManus is quite hands-on. So after every game, he'd be by the tunnel. So after every home game, he'd walk into Knowsley Road, into the sheds, and he'd shake your hand, win, lose or draw. He'd shake every player's hand. And I thought that was quite nice. I thought it was a good gesture. I thought it were a little bit more hands-on. And we saw, I saw Eamon quite a lot. He was quite involved. And I liked it. I think it showed a little bit of, I don't know, just a bit of decency, being hands-on and being there. So I've had it both ways, and they both worked.
And then you have the extreme of that. We've got Bernard that's actually, so I get that. Now, what you're talking about there is you've got directors, whatever, that have absolutely no contact with it, originally at Bradford. Then you've got Eamon, who's actually, it doesn't sound like from what you're saying that he's actually getting involved with the detailed rugby side of it.
No.
Because the reality is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Eamon didn't play high-level professional rugby.
No, I don't think so.
So he doesn't understand, will not understand the detail needed to discuss what's going on with the team.
No, but from his decency of respecting your effort of the at the weekend of the game, win, lose or draw, he'd shake your hand. And I thought, you know, it was nice of him. It's commendable of him to approve what you're doing, even if you lost. I'm not sure if he'd be still doing it now, because at that time we were winning.
But then
every game.
Have the Catalans model where it can feel quite intrusive.
Yeah, and it should. Listen, rugby for me is down to the coaches. They pick the teams. They should always pick the teams. They do the work. They know that's their job. And I should never. I don't think it should be left up to board members and people that are not coaching to do rugby tactics or pick teams or tell people off.
So, James, obviously you're new to the game of rugby league. When you're hearing senior players like Leon, who's long in the tooth and has been around, seen absolutely every facet of the game, how is that? Is that a fascinating aspect for you to look at? This is the politics that goes in and around being a professional sportsman.
Yeah, obviously, growing up, you just like thought they just went on field and were out there and played rugby and that were it. But there's a lot more to it when you like come in and see what looks like Leon on that.
Do you have an agent that looks after your affairs?
Yeah, I'm with the elite star with Carl Harrison.
Richard Kramer,
yeah, and Carl Harrison. So Carl's been around the game for a long time, coached the game, worked in the administrative side of the sport, but also now as a player agent and also played at the highest level. Do you get good do you have a good working relationship with him?
Yeah, so Carl were at Bulls obviously when I first come, and then he left and then wanted to be my agent, so keep in touch with him like.
But what he's not saying as well is Richard Kramer, who runs it, that's his business. He's actually a solicitor and he's been involved around rugby for the last 20, 25 years. Richard did my deal from Saints to Catalan, and Richard's a really good bloke, and he knows that he will look after James. He's good, very, very good.
Yeah, doesn't it make you nervous though, because Rhino's a front rower. You've got a front rower looking after your future, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll get Rhino in there and I'll tell him we're mates, so it works like that. Four tries on the weekend, mate. Don't you know how to pass the ball? What are you being so greedy for? I could see Leon was on the inside of a couple of times.
I tried. Told him. I tried.
Give me the ball. Let me get my name in the newspaper.
I don't know. Just one of them. Just like kept on coming.
I mean, you're on the back end. A couple of those were long distance tries. You're on the back end of those, but two of them, it's just about running good lines and actually keeping the leg drive going in contact.
Yeah, just getting over that line and putting that ball down.
So you've had your opportunity to break into the first team this year. You must be just loving it.
Yes, obviously I wasn't really expecting to get like the amount of game time I have, but I'm just like really enjoying it and thriving on it.
All right. We're going to hear more from James. We're going to take a short break. Come back after that. We'll hear more from James, and we'll also be looking at all the sports' hottest topics, including having a good, hard discussion around this Easter period process. It's new for James at 19 years of age. It's been there since Leon started playing the game. So stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup, whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the RHP Show with Leon Price and James Bentley. We're giving away a family ticket to the Bulls' home match, local derby match against Halifax this Friday night. Up at the Providence Stadium, I think kickoff is 8 o'clock. I'm right in thinking that, eh, boys? Yep, you've been told to be up there at least by 6.30. What is kickoff time at this point in time?
8, isn't it? 8
o'clock, not kickoff time, sorry, turn-up time.
An hour and a half.
Yeah. Hour and a half.
At least, at the very latest.
So if you want to get your hands on that ticket, it's going to be a massive match. The Bulls are on minus 2 points. They're desperate to get that to that big giant zero from minus 12. So they've done fantastically well so far this season. Just contact us at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show. Leave your name and we'll pick a winner by lunchtime tomorrow afternoon, Thursday afternoon. So, well, let's talk about that game tomorrow night. On Friday night. Halifax, I think that you guys would have liked, as a team, you would have liked to have been on 0 points going into this game.
Because it's
such a big local derby. Slip up against Oldham, too much ball put down. I think Jeff Toovey was talking about, in preparation to last week's game, it was all about ball retention. And that's what we saw in the first half, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's probably the most impressive we've been in a first half this season. We look like the team. We controlled the ball. It looked like we started to take a little bit of confidence, and we put some points on, and we defended our line really well. And I thought it was quite a pleasing game, really, as an older player. I thought we played as a team.
Yeah, as a leader on the field, that's something that you recognise. You've been able to reflect on every game you've played for, so far this season. Actually, it felt complete.
Yeah, I think it's the first time I've felt confidence. I can see you can never put a measurement on confidence, can you? But I could see confidence growing within the game, and by the end of the game, I think we ran away with it. We scored a couple of tries, a few nice short side plays from Scotty and Bentley, and we run away with it, and Campbell run away with a nice try at end. So I could see the confidence growing and building, and I think if we can take that into Friday, you know, keep his heads down onto the ground, keep level pegging, but if we take that confidence with us, we stand us in good stead.
James, you're the baby of the team, the player that turned out week in, week out. They've had a couple of the other younger players come into the games as a one-off, but you are the sort of lockstop youngest player. Everybody in the team is senior to you. A little bit longer in the tooth, so to speak. But what's it like to have a leader like Leon, who's won Super League, won World Clubs, won Challenge Cups, won Man of the Matches and all those trophies as well? There, done that, got the rings. What's it like to have a player like him on the field, sort of directing the play?
Yeah, well, it's a bit surreal just to even be like playing on the same field as someone like Pricey, you know what I mean? But
Leon did prime you before you come on the show. I'm going to bring on the show, but let's just get one thing straight. Plug.
Yeah, but it just has that knowledge, doesn't he? He knows what to do, right time. Helps us round field, like leaders, and just gets us in the right areas.
Bentley's my inside man, so I'm always into Bentley. And at start of season, I don't know if you know James, he's into his juggling and his meditation and things like that.
Is it what he's trying to say is you're a consummate professional,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I am. No. So Rowan Smith were here, and Rowan's a bit, right, Rowan likes all that stuff.
Yep.
So I used to give, I didn't know Bentley as a player. I've never, you know, he's only a young lad. And I used to give him a bit of stick about his juggling and getting to him and getting him to him a bit. But since he started playing and the way he's played this season, the respect I've got for him, I think this so far this season, for me, he's been the best player in Championship. He's been our best young player and our best player, full stop. And he's a professional. He trains, he's in early, he leaves late, he does extras, works hard. And if he continues to go the same way as he is doing, he'll definitely be good enough for Super League. And he's the kind of player that we need to tie down to take us back up to Super League. He's been outstanding.
So young enough, 19 years of age, reminds me of another young 19-year-old that they once had here about 20 years ago. then we were lucky enough to get a young 16-year-old that we built a team around as well, but he left us because someone else came along. But no, I'm just pointing that out. What's your inspiration? For a young man, 19 years of age, what me and Leon have seen many 19-year-olds come into this game. They want the fancy cars. They want the lifestyle. Not all of them have been as disciplined as what they say you are. What's your inspiration? Who has inspired you? And it can be anyone. It doesn't have to be someone from the club that you've been, but it's just interesting to know the pathway that you're currently walking.
So obviously, players like Sam Burgess and that like playing top level in NRL and stuff like that. That's where I want to go, hopefully, one day. And then players like when Rowan come, I learned a lot from him, meditating, juggling, stuff like that. And then I just took that into my game and adapted and just helped it.
So from a coaching point of view, because as I understand it to be, Jeff Tuvey and Rowan are very chalk and cheese. Their approaches, now their methodology is probably very similar because it's an NRL style of rugby.
Complete opposite. Rugby tactics, personal, they're the two opposite end of scale. Everything.
Two to me comes across as someone who's really quite direct and very. There's an element of an old school methodology around him, quite tough, hard, yeah. And that sort of focal approach. How's it been for you, seeing those two ends of the spectrum then?
Yeah, so obviously Jeff's a bit more tough on us, but he's helped me a lot with my game, trying to get me to square up more and hopefully helps me make more meters and get on the front foot.
Seen your game grow over the course of this season. You've been getting stronger and stronger, and obviously typified with a 4-try opportunity that you got on the weekend, releasing the ball. But not only that, release the ball and continue to trail the middle of the field, getting your footwork, like you're saying, squaring up, getting your footwork into contact and actually keeping your footwork moving, being able to win more of the tackle, more of the ruck. Because we look at the 4 tries, but I think what Leon's picking up on is the times you win the tackle, get your nose down, get a quick play of the ball. Those are really important to those players in and around you. And, of course, when you're defending inside someone like an old man like Leon, you've got to do a lot of his work for him.
Cover my backside.
How's that? I mean, because obviously Leon's very vocal in that position. You can see him. You can hear him from the side. And that's over the top of a stadium calling as well. Are you finding at 19 years of age you're having to do all that work for the old man inside you as well?
Yeah, so
outside you, sorry.
So at the beginning of the season, a couple of times I sunk in and left him, and then he let me know. So I've learned not to do that.
But in all fairness, I mean, I know I can lose my head a little bit, but I think that now we've got an understanding, haven't we, James? Yeah, he's just on the field and it's gone after that second. It's gone, and we're working together, and. That's good. I mean, I'm really enjoying seeing. The best thing for me at this age of 35 is you start to see young players develop. And one day when I see him play at top level for GB, I can say, I know he'll remember me from him, me shouting at him. Come on, Bentley!
But those small things, I always found, and this is no word of a lie, I always found I learned more from my teammates and going on international tour and being exposed to that level of talent than I ever did from a single coach. So I learned some great lessons. Don't get me wrong. I learned some great lessons, and the overall style and philosophies around playing the game and, tactics. But when it comes to the nuances, the small things, I learned so much more from the players that I had around me. Influential in my career. So I made a big breakthrough year in 1996. A massive influence on that season was a guy by the name of Graham Bradley, Penguin. For me, I think he must have been given the call from the head coach, Brian Smith, at the time. Ride this kid. Make him work. Because I remember Brian Smith pulling me aside and he says to me, you train harder than you play in the games. And I said, what do you mean? He said, in training, you're always out the front. You're ripping the wallpaper off the walls. Your fitness work is absolutely brilliant. But you get into the games and you look lazy. So when he said that to me, from that point on, for the next 16 games, I had this big, lanky Australian just yelling in my ear for 80 minutes.
If you think I'm bad, he were 10 times worse.
Oh, horrible.
10 times worse.
Horrible. But he taught me how to play on the field. And those little things made me the player. It allowed me to take the step up to international level. So in saying that, Leon, you've got one of the best. A guy who's been there and done that. You can make him look good by looking after him, but you'll learn a lot along the journey as well. What are the best things that you've learned so far playing first grade?
Just like little things to my game, like very like soul things. Just
how to look after the old man outside you. And...
I think what I've seen is he's got a little bit of that strength that you can't see, a little bit of that. You know, like John Bateman kind of strength. Yeah. You don't look
dense
like
dense muscle. Yeah, yeah. Explosive.
If I get the ball early to him, first, he'll usually break through with that first tackle. Got a good fend. And at this level, where
he's 19.
Yeah, this level.
That's the key.
This level is more physical than it is fit. Like in Super League, it's fast. It's fast and physical. But in this league, it's more physical.
It is physical. Yeah.
And he's got a good palm and he's got a good strength, but. I think more than anything, what shines for me is attitude. I mean, to play back row, to play 80 minutes for every single game this season shows you his fitness level, his strength and his professionalism. If he keeps that, which I know he will do, he's going to go a lot further. And I think Jeff's really good for him. I think Jeff Tovey is one coach that we all love. The whole team loves him.
Cool. All right. Well, that's music to every Bradford Bulls fans there, I got to say. Okay, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to deal with... Kieran Cunningham sacking or stepping down, whatever way you want to talk about it, and further and other hot topics around the sport of rugby league. Stick with us here on the RHP Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the RHP Show. We're giving away a family ticket to the Bulls' home match against Halifax this Friday night up at the Providence Stadium, 8 o'clock kickoff. Massive, massive game. The Bulls are currently on minus 2 points. They're trying desperately to get back to that zero. If they get back to the zero and Dewsbury do not win, there'll be equal points on them and within striking distance of Swinton Lions, who are only on 2 points. If you want to find out how you can pick up those tickets, just contact us at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show. Leave your details and we'll pick someone at a random lunchtime tomorrow afternoon. Just quickly on that one, boys, what's the appetite for that game? Because Halifax have been a little bit hit and miss this year, but obviously they've got great players within their squad and they'll be wanting to come over the hill to not let you guys get back to 0 points.
I think it's probably our derby game, isn't it? Obviously, because we can't play Leeds anymore. So I know that Fax fans are not too keen on us. Bradford lot.
Did you ever play against Halifax?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Punched your lung. Obson punched your lung that game, remember?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I played Halifax quite a few times. It's a big game. It's a massive game. Looking forward to it on a Friday night for a change. So, yeah, let's go.
First big local derby for you, James?
Yeah. Hopefully get a big crowd and then get out there and see how it goes.
Yeah, ticket sales are going really well. So if you've got nothing to do Friday evening, you want to get up and have a beer and start the long weekend and get up to the Bulls. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, Leon, let's head it straight on. Kieran Cunningham, one of your old mates, you're posting on social media this week just sort of wishing him all the very best. You picked this out a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We said who was most likely, did we think, was going to put their head was going to go on the chopping block, and you said, regretfully, one of my mates, Kieran Cunningham. But it's, you know, that's happened. He's been the first Super League coach to actually feel the axe this weekend.
Obviously, I always follow Saints because my association with the club and my time spent there, obviously playing with Kieran. I always keep tabs on a little bit. I try not to read too much into social media, but I know the expectations of that club, how much they expect you to win and success, Challenge Cups, Super Leagues. So obviously I've kept a track on it, and I knew there was pressure on Kieran, the way the results were going, the way last season went. And it was some of the things that I read on social media is quite distasteful, really, for a legend of the club, somebody who's given you 24-year service. Some of the stuff that I was reading wasn't nice, and I felt that after he did get sacked, I just felt a need to say something because it was on my mind. And I just hope that he's remembered, really, for the player that he was and what he did. To give 24-year service to one club, to be one of the best players that's ever played the game, definitely one of the best hookers that's ever played the game, and stay loyal to his hometown club and have a statue outside the ground. It shows you what a mark of the man and what he did for the club. So I hope that's remembered more than you could call an unsuccessful 2 years. But not only that, you've got to remember the recruitment side of things. You've got to look at who's recruited, the squad that has been inherited. You know, if he'd have had the squad of 2006 with Matt Gidley, Jamie Lyon, Paul Wellens himself. Robbie, you're talking about something different, aren't you?
Again? Yeah.
But unfortunately for him at this time, it wasn't to
younger
be.
Younger Leon Price in as well,
yeah,
James.
It was, and Sean Long, you know. But unfortunately for him at this time, it didn't quite work out. And probably from somebody who made his debut for Saints at, 16, 17, to be, nearly 40 now, and for the first time not be associated with that club, it must be quite, I don't know, challenging or different for him. So I just wanted to show a little bit of support, that's all.
You know, 24 years.
It's a long time.
That is a long time.
Yeah.
It's your natural day. You wake up every day. That's your purpose. That's your reason for being. This is what I do. This is how I define myself. So what's next for Kieran?
I don't know. I think he'll take some time off. He's financially sweet. He's got a nice big house paid off. And I'm sure he'll got a nice little slice of cake from Eamon for being sacked. He'll be being paid off for that as well. But he's a proud man, and I think he would rather have still been in a job than being out of a job. I think I'll text him straight away. I think he'll take a little bit of a time, probably go on holiday with his wife, Lynette, bit of time away from the game, and then weigh up his options. But
when you speak to him over the years, has he got that real burning passion to be a world-class coach?
I think so. If I'm totally honest with you, when I played with Kieran, I never thought of him as a coach. I always thought long he was, because he was pretty much a genius. But I never knew Kieran would fancy that. But champion players have got that mentality. If you're a champion player, then as a coach, you'd want to be a very, very successful coach. So he'll be hurting from it, won't he?
I liken it to maybe the journey that Darryl Powell's had. Because if you remember, very early on, he was given, when he retired from rugby league, he was given the reins of Leeds.
Yeah.
And that did not work out for him. And then he took a step back, started working with some big coaches, started refining the skills of his trade. And then we've seen that fruition that over 15 years, I think it must be about
that. It's a long
that.
Time, yeah.
Yeah.
And let's be quite honest now, he's the best English coach out there. And he's somebody that I'd like to work with. And I think he may be on the St. Helens wish list, really, for the next coach. I think he's the hottest property in the game. Definitely at the moment is Darryl Powell. But like you said, it was a long process he had to learn. Probably got the Leeds job too early after finishing as a player. And used his experience, like I said, gone away from Leeds and then come back at Castleford and turned him into the best team in Super League.
What makes a good coach?
Well, I don't know.
You've been with good coaches. You've also been with bad coaches.
Yeah.
What attributes did you like with the good coaches and vice versa?
Okay, so I think it's hard for me to say, because I'd say I'm quite a challenging person. I think for me to, I'm quite a challenging person. I'm quite hard-headed. I'm quite stubborn.
At least you're reflective of your own. I can
be quite stubborn. I can be quite cocky. I'm quite confident in my ability. But Daniel Anderson broke me. He sat me down after a game at Bradford. We played, but my first game back at Oddsall, and Terry Newton spotted me up, and I was blowing out my backside. He brought me off, and after the game, he tore shreds off me, and he nearly got me in tears. But I respected him. He got my respect, and I was scared of him. And I think if you've got the respect of the player and you know what makes them tick, then you're halfway there. And I think in my honest opinion, and I'm saying this quite honestly, Jeff Tuve is the only coach that I know that can drop a player and just everybody still likes him. He has got the full dressing room, the support, the full team love. And I thought at 34, 35, I didn't think I knew it all, but I thought there's not much I can learn now. And I've learned things off Jeff. And I'd say, like, so far from even just a couple of months, he's been one of my favourite coaches so far up there with Daniel and with Trent Robinson. So you can still learn at 35.
You definitely can. I remember my last couple of years with Basil, with Ian Millwood. And he was teaching this old dog some new tricks as well. Yeah. And I loved it.
I did.
It was food for my soul.
I'm loving it this year. I mean, it's fantastic. And I think it's shown me that you can still learn, and I'm really grateful.
What don't you like from a coach then?
What don't you like? I don't like mind games. I don't like people that think they can belittle you or talk to you like a child. People who want to try and be an head teacher kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think they try and challenge you as a person, because I'm still a 28-year-old man. I've got my own children. I'll speak to my children like I'm the father. Don't speak to me like I'm a kid. Yeah. Don't try and play mind games. I'm not in it for mind games. I want to play. Make me want to play for you. Make me want to be your friend, and make me not want to disappoint you. Don't talk to me like a kid.
So lead me. Don't rule me.
Don't try and talk to me like my mum or dad. You're not my mum or dad. I'm a man. Don't talk to me like a kid.
I like it. What about you, James? The little exposure that you've had to head coach. Well, actually, though, in saying that, you can see the skills that you pick up from junior ranks as well. What is it that you admire from coaches, or are you just a sponge and you're trying to soak up as much as you can?
Well, I just try to take a bit from like everyone. Like so far, like I've had like Disco like in academy and that,
mm-hmm.
and he were like
very experienced.
Experienced, you know what I mean, like playing wise, but like coaching wise, he were a bit like new to it.
Yeah.
So he taught me a lot. Like when I was playing nine, so he was like a great person for me when I was playing nine, and then. Players like Jeff, like just a wealth of knowledge, like too much knowledge, like at some point, you know what I mean? Like, don't know how to get it all out at some points, but just like helped me in my game so much, Jeff, this year.
That's brilliant.
I think a key point in being a good coach is getting your senior players on side. That's the number one thing I'd say.
Because they're key influences within the unit itself.
They're the key influence. When Daniel Anderson came to St. Helens, he got Paul Willans, Sean Long, Kieran Cunningham on side. They were the three main players. And eventually I became a bit more of an important player, got me onside. And he knew if he got them four players onside, the rest of the team would follow suit.
So it was like you police.
Yes.
The senior players or the key influencers with any group police and create the tone and culture of the squad.
Yep.
And if he's got them buying in,
massively.
Those key influences.
Don't forget Sean Long. You know, people, you're talking about players with ego, you know, confidence. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, like Cristiano Ronaldo's.
Mm-hmm.
You don't become great players by not having a little bit of ego.
Mm-hmm.
And to control that ego and to let it flourish properly is an art form itself. And he did that. And that's what, you know, he said to Long, listen, you run the attack. You boys can attack. You're scoring 40 points a game, but I'm running the defence. Longy, Kieran, take the attack. I'll do the defence. Boom, there you go.
Was there anything of an element of them actually, they think they're running attack and actually his influence is constantly there all the time?
Yeah, absolutely.
That helps you buy in as well, eh?
Yep.
Okay, this show is absolutely flying. We're going to go to another break. We'll be back for the final segment, so stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the final segment of the RHP Show. We've got the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, in the house alongside his teammate, young James Bentley, the try-scoring machine for the Bradford Bulls, picking up four tries because he doesn't know how to pass. We're giving our family pass away to the Bradford Bulls home match against Halifax this Friday night up at the Providence Stadium. Pick up those tickets. Just leave us your details at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show and we'll contact you by lunchtime tomorrow to let you know whether or not you've won. So we're just going to pick someone at random. So leave your details and get up to a massive local derby match that it's going to be. Before we get into the games for this Easter weekend and start talking about this weekend, I just want to have a quick chat about the England versus Samoa match, which is to be streamed live. It's got a price, £3.49. So going away from the traditional model, which is putting it on BBC or Sky TV, the two platforms that we normally have rugby league and internationals played on, and we're going to this model. There's a lot of people that have actually been outspoken about it that don't like it, think that it should be free to air, or it should be given some other type of approach. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
We'll be watching it.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? England, you're going to want to play for England. And James, you need to answer this correctly, because understanding that the people that have decided this are also the people that choose who play in the England team. So before, Leon's not going to play for England again, so he can say anything he wants. What about yourself?
I might watch it, depends. Like, but when you think about it, like the amount of money like Sky costs and that, and then they want to charge even more for like just this game, it should really be included in Sky, really, shouldn't it?
Well, I pay I pay money monthly for Sky just for Super League. If rugby weren't on Sky, I probably wouldn't have it. Mm-hmm. So I would like to at least it be on Sky or normal BBC. And I just think it's a shame, really, because I don't think his game gets enough publicity as it is, and I think making people play will limit it even more.
Now, there is a couple of models that I think we have to throw into the argument. Now, we understand, yep, people pay season ticket prices, people pay match day prices, people pay for Sky, Sky to follow Sky, get the packages. They also pay their TV license fee to see BBC content.
And if they want to watch Australia NRL, they get Premier Sports. Premier Sports, another 10 quid a month.
So we do understand that argument. But in majority of other professional sporting codes, what you see is a segmentation of their performance licensing. So you may see a split between domestic games being played on one television program. You can even see that split up. If you ever look at rugby union, some of it's on Sky, some it's on BT Sport, etc., etc. The social media is, and that actually draws more funding into the sport than actually just going with one rights holder.
But what you also see then, Robert, is when you see people competing for your TV licence, so say BT Sport, or you see Virgin, or you see Sky, or you see BBC, when these guys are fighting for the TV rights, there's also a reflection in pay. The money comes into the game. The players see your salary goes up, more money goes into the game.
Yep.
But in rugby league, it doesn't. We pay £3.49, or the Sky deal goes up, but is the money going in for the...
The point that I'm trying to make is because we only use one delivery method, one paid-for delivery method, that's why there's not as much money in the game.
Yep.
So this is actually, as I understand it, this is a great way to test the model. But unless we, the rugby league audience, buy into it, we're not going to see... If we decide not to follow it as a... from a political reason or from a protest position, we're not going to be able to see a true reflection of whether or not there's an appetite for it.
We'll see this weekend then, what we're...
Well, that's it. I mean, the reality is there's got to be a groundswell supporting England Rugby Union England International Team. What I think we need to separate is actually buy into this. Let's look at it in reality. £3.49, it's less than a pint in what you play in most sports stadia.
I won't be paying it.
And as a test market for this type of approach, there's got to be some value in it.
We'll see then, won't we? We'll see. We'll see, Robert. I massively disagree with it, but let's just see.
James?
It's one of them, isn't it? It's like
he wants to play for England, so he's not going to say absolutely anything at all.
You're allowed to have your opinion if you want to play for England or not. It's just, do you think it's right you should pay £3.50 to watch an England game?
Yeah, but you can just see the media, Telegraph and Argus tomorrow, James Bentley say the RFL are wrong.
I think, like, even if they stream it, there should be like another way you can watch it, like, for free, you know what I mean? Like,
you might be able to watch it maybe 3 or 4 days later. And they put it on in free to air, but that's not the same thing, because we'll look at social media. We'll be able to. We want to watch live sport. I'm on board with it but I do understand that.
Would be, Robert.
But look at it. And it's in our DNA to evolve. It's in our DNA to try different things. We evolved out of rugby union. So it's in our DNA to try and test the marketplace so we can do what you want to do, and that is to have more income streams coming into the sport. Spend on marketing and player retention.
I just hope that £3.49 for each people that subscribe gets passed down to the players, and the players get some part of that.
And it can only do that if we create the models.
Well, let's see if it happens then. Let's see if the match payments go up for the players then.
But it can only that happens when people like you, who are a key influencer to audiences.
I'm just saying, what I'm saying, Robbie, is
if you get on board with it.
Okay, so this weekend, that £3.49, let's say, you know, we make 30, 40, 50, 100k out of it. I wonder if that gets passed down to the players' wages.
It's not going to be like players. You don't get to pay for anything other than that. It's a test market. And test markets are done in the right way. And
all that income is going to players.
Well, it is going to come back into the game, isn't it? Because that's the governing body.
I don't think it will be.
Not purely and simply. I don't think it should go purely and simply just to the players.
No. I'm not saying it should. I'm not saying all of it. I'm saying a percentage of it.
And a percentage of it will go into the development of more opportunities like this, which then goes into the greater goal of the game. But you've got to, there's a thing where you test the marketplace and then you pivot and then you drive in that way.
We'll
and this is a great way of testing the marketplace.
Okay.
Small thing, a single game, not against one of the bigger nations, so they can test the appetite for it.
Let's see them. As long as it gets passed down to the players, I'm not bothered.
We've got our own position on. We stand poles apart, Leon and I. Games upcoming this weekend. Obviously, your guys' game, big game this weekend. Huddersfield Giants versus Catalans tonight. This is at John Smith Stadium.
Both out of form. It's a 50-50 game.
But in saying that, Huddersfield drew with St Helens last week.
A scratch of St Helens team.
But they, you know, you saw Rick Stone talking about they scratched the St Helens team, but the week before they had missed 50 tackles. Last week on the right track, missed only 15 tackles. They've got to be building stronger.
It's a tough game to call, I think. I think it's a really tough game to call. I think if Bird's back for Catalan, that makes a big difference. Tony Gigo's been, his back 2 year ban's been dropped, so he's back. That's a big boost for the Catalan team. I know they've stayed in England this week, so they're not having to travel, the Catalan's team, so... I'm going to go Catalans.
All right. My real big game of the weekend has got to be Cass and Wakey. Wakey are in some great form at this point in time.
No way.
Cass are leading.
Saints Wigan, man. It's massive. Friday. Good Friday. 12 o'clock kickoff.
You know,
Saints Wigan's the biggest game. It's the biggest derby in rugby league, Robbie.
Yeah, so but they're not in form.
It don't matter. It's still a massive game. It's just sat the manager. They're looking for a fight back. Looking for an answer, a response from the players. Jamal Lewis and Sean Long taking control. 12 o'clock kickoff. Wigan have lost the last game. Got smashed by Castleford. Sean Wayne's going to be hurting. He's going to be wanting Saints because he's a loyal Wigan coach. He loves Wigan, doesn't he? He's Wigan through and through. So for me, that's the biggest game of the weekend. Friday, 12 o'clock.
Who needs Sky advertising?
I cannot wait. I'm going to get up Friday morning and have my breakfast and I'm going to sit and watch Saints versus Wigan or Wigan versus Saints, and I'm going to get ready to play rugby when we play Halifax that night.
Tell you what, another crucial game to be looking at, and again, two teams. Well, Lee has been a little bit hit and miss, but Salford are flying at this point in time. I still think Salford are flying under the radar.
Salford are flying.
But people
are
still
awesome.
They're still not measuring
they're
them.
Awesome,
and I think
mate.
That's one of the keys. Because people are still, you know, you get into that mind frame where you're not really, because it's, you know, when you're a player and you're exposed to 4 years of underperformance from a squad, you can go in soft to a game.
I'm so happy for him as well, because Mohan's invested so much money, and it's nice that it's not a team full of superstars. It's just a team of hard workers, and it's paying off, isn't it?
Well, some of those players are starting to become superstars, aren't they? I think the whole KR game, Featherston, other than your guys' game, is the game of the championship.
Yeah, probably a big game this week for us, isn't it? Local derby. Needs to get out there and get the win.
What about KR and Fev? What do you think on that?
KR, okay.
That's at KR as well.
LKR, they're dominant, very dominant this year.
All right, look, we're flying through this show. Grateful for having you, James, on the show. It's great to hear you on here. Leon, once again, a lot of fun. Massive weekend coming up. Rest up, boys. Put your feet up. Try and conserve as much energy as possible. We'll be back next Wednesday night. Thank you for being with us.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.